Gospel to Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6, and then jumping down to verse 16 through 18. So 1 through 6, and then jumping down to verse 16 through 18. We are continuing on through our walk in the Sermon on the Mount. We, last week, summarized chapter 5 as a way of reminder because of the long break we had for the Christmas and holiday season. And now we move forward, pressing ahead. And as I said before, after we conclude the Sermon on the Mount, we'll go through a time of the book of Genesis, exploring its depths and hearing the Lord speak through Moses. But here we read Matthew's recording of Jesus' great sermon to his people, the king addressing his kingdom citizens about what it means to live in his kingdom. The opening words are the opening line of this sermon has to be the interpretive key of how you understand where to apply and how to apply these truths to our hearts. Must remember that it is the poor in spirit who enter the kingdom, not the self-righteous, not those who have it together, but those who come to God as beggars, seeking from him righteousness, forgiveness of sins, new life. It's to them and them alone who are blessed. And then as Jesus progresses through the sermon, he tells that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. As I said last week, that's not him indicating that, you know, now, you know, you're graded on a curve in the beginning, and now, you know, the standard grading procedure, your righteous deeds must outweigh your unrighteous deeds in order to be right with God. That's not what he is saying. He is again calling on his people to trust in a righteousness that is outside of their own, to hunger and thirst for a righteousness that is outside of themselves. And then he concludes chapter 5 by saying, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That perfection comes only from the outside of us, for we are sinners. We entered in poor in spirit, and we don't all of a sudden get transformed into perfect beings. Rather, as we travel through kingdom ethics, kingdom principles, we realize that we must depend on the perfections of Christ. The one speaking to us and giving us these blessings is the one who will provide us the perfections that we need to be made right with God. And then we come to this in chapter 6, a sad commentary on the human heart. We have just walked through a journey of grace as the Lord professes blessing to those who are spiritually impoverished because of his righteousness, because of the gift that God has given us in his Son, providing for us a righteousness that is outside of ourselves. Now, a stern warning that is applicable to everyone here, most specifically to me, the one addressing you today. Let us hear what Matthew records of the words of Jesus in this grave, grave warning, starting in verse 1 of chapter 6. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And now we skip over to verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, how desperately sick are our hearts, that though you lead us to travel the road of grace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ, we so quickly seek to steal glory from you. Rather than to give what is your due, our absolute humble service and faith, seeking to give glory to your name, we seek glory for ourselves. We practice righteousness in front of others so that we may be seen by them. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to be a people so given over to wonder and awe and worship of you that it would be unconscionable by your grace to seek glory for our own name. Lord, let us take heed to this warning. You know the human heart. This is not a warning for other types of people. This is a warning for every single individual in this room. Grant us grace. Help us to confess our sin and help us to seek your righteousness that results in men and women praising your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I've preached this text before my church in Kentucky, and then also in a youth group I went through this, and each time I preach it, but this time more specifically, I've come under the heavy conviction of the Lord. This is a damning text. The Lord Jesus opens his mouth to his people, telling them of the grace of the Lord. All you who are spiritually impoverished, you are blessed. Those of you who recognize your need for a Savior, those of you who know that you have broken relationship with your Father, he gives grace and blessing to you. And then he walks you down this road. You start as the poor in spirit and you end in the Beatitudes as those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then he says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the city set on the hill. Let your light shine before men. How gracious and kind is the Lord who sent his own Son to provide for us the righteousness that we need, but we do not have because of our sin. For the guilty ones, the Lord gave his righteous Son in order that he would die in their place, that our guilt would be transferred over to him and his righteousness would be transferred over to us. So when the Lord Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, we do not despair. We hope in the gospel, for that perfection is held out for us in Christ. If we trust in him and unite him in faith, such gracious kindness from the Lord. And yet Jesus knows the human heart and says, but beware of practicing your righteousness in front of others so that you can be seen by them. This warning comes in light of the graciousness of God. Our response is to make sure that people know that we're doing all the right things. He gives three examples, standard practices in the life of Israel. If you were an Israelite, you were expected to give to the poor. If you were an Israelite, you were expected to participate in prayer. And if you were an Israelite, you would fast as a sign of mourning and dependence on the Lord. And Jesus says, and Jesus assumes that his kingdom citizens also will be participatory in these things. It's not an added extra to our life, giving to the poor, spending time in prayer, or fasting. This is expected of the Lord Jesus. The Lord assumes that we would do these things. But then he also shows where our hearts are. We are so quick to steal glory from the Lord. We are so quick to seek the praise of men. I am so quick to desire that people tell me that I'm doing a good job or that I'm an inspiration or that they're thankful for me. I am so quick to and so eager to structure my sermons and choose my words so carefully so that you all would think that I'm wise and gifted and blessed by the Lord. I am so quick to seek out people's pat on the back when I serve the homeless and the hungry and the needy and the poor. When the phone rings and there's an emergency in the life of a member, I'm so quick to jump in my car because it's so satisfying in my shrunken heart to hear people say, "Oh, thank you, isn't he a good pastor?" And the Lord says, beware of doing such things for that reason. Not beware of doing those things or even doing those things in public, but beware of doing those things so that you would be seen by men. For then you get your full reward. That is all you can expect to get from the Lord. And it's not as if the Lord is sitting there and he's just this grumpy Gus. Well, Tim, he's taken my, you know, I need people to like me. And here, he's getting all the praise. It's not that. The Lord is my heavenly Father. He knows my heart. He knows what is best for me. And self-seeking righteousness is not what is best for me or any of us. It is a pitiful substitute. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham just got done rescuing his nephew Lot with his 300 trained men in battle from the four armies that attacked the five armies. And he rescued them. And then there's this really strange ceremony between this king, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, between Abraham and he. And then it leads up to Genesis 15 where Abraham is considering the promise of God. And he is sulking and he is sullen. And the Lord says, have no fear, Abraham. Your reward is very great. And what he is pointing at is that I am your reward. I am what you are striving for. I am the reason why you left the land of Ur of the Chaldees to the land that I showed you, the land that I promised you, because I will be your reward. And when we seek the praise of men, number one, it is fickle. It is not lasting. You people and me people are so prone to changes of mood and of opinions. If I'm hungry, I am rude and nasty and hard to deal with, ask my wife. So if you depend on my praise and I haven't gotten enough sleep or food, you're not going to get it. If you are seeking my praise and you are performing your righteous deeds in order to be seen by me, I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but as an example, and my favorite sports team has lost, you are not going to get it. It is so fickle, but it is also, even if you did get it, it is so pathetic, my praise. It is so weak. It is so frail. And it is so limited. But if you desire, truly desire the Lord's pleasure and his smile and his reward, you will not seek to do the things that he has called you to do in order to be seen by men. But also, and contained as this is the stark truth, that's all you receive. I've prayed one of the prayers I've prayed this week was asking the Lord, how much of my life has already received its full reward? How much of my preaching and my ministry and my service has already been paid in full? Because those are the words that God, the Lord, uses in this text. It is a marketplace word of a payment in full, and you've received your receipt. That is it. That is all that is coming. That is the due for this transaction. When men say, "Good job, you," that is all I will receive, and that's all I've sought. All I have sought is the praise of men, and I have gotten my full reward, and nothing will come from the Lord. And I've had to ask myself, how much of my life has been given to the praise of men, and I have only received my full reward in those moments. How many sermons have I preached? No matter how helpful and how faithful they were to the words and to the people who heard them, how many of my sermons have received only the reward that I sought, which was, as you were walking down, good sermon, Pastor. This is a dire, this is just an exposure of the wickedness of our hearts. How feeble and how quick we are to desire just pathetic substitutes for what stands out for us as Christians. There is no accident that in this section, the words "your father" is used 6 times. And if you include the whole section, the part that I skipped, where Jesus also gives his model prayer, the word for father is given 10 times. It's no accident. The Lord Jesus is showcasing just how bad the situation is when we seek the praise of men. Your father, your heavenly father. You seek the praise of men, yet your father holds out for you a promise of a reward far surpassing that will last forever. All these other things will be burned up in the refiner's fire, and all that is left is the pure gold of your life. If you seek the praise of men, you will get something that is not lasting and not worthy of your time. But your Father, your heavenly Father, holds out for you promises that if you do your acts of righteousness in secrecy, trusting that He sees you, He knows your sacrifice. Those of you who are truly sacrificing, those of you who are truly in the shadows, doing acts of righteousness and faithfulness, the Lord, He sees you and He will reward you. He will give you His praise and His honor. To the rest of us who have platforms whereby we are seen, the danger is more acute. But there are still some of you here that don't have a public platform like I do. And you are every bit as guilty as I am. Some of you, the only reason you are here today is that so that people will know that you are here today. Some of you, you have put money in the offering plate. You have made a phone call on behalf of your Sunday school class, you know, making sure everyone knows to come. Some of you have signed up for the nursery or for the praise team or sing with the choir or volunteer for various aspects of church life and the needs and the services in our church life. And all your intention is to be seen by men. And the Lord says, you've gotten your reward. And He doesn't say so again as just a jealous or petty person. He is telling you what you have received, all that you purchased the praise of men. Here's your receipt. The transaction is completed. But I am the one who has provided for you the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. I am the one who has welcomed the poor in spirit into my kingdom. I am the one who's provided the perfection that is needed to be a citizen of my kingdom. You don't think that my reward, my promised reward, is something to be desired to the point where the only reason why you are performing your acts of righteousness is so that people will see you? How deceptive is the human heart? How shallow can we be? The word for hypocrite that he uses in these 3 sentences, do not be like, when you give to the poor, do not be like the hypocrites. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, is a word for a stage actor. A person who puts on a mask and performs in front of a crowd. They're not seeking to proclaim truth. They're just seeking to put on a performance, to act and to display in a certain way. And that is what he is saying here. He's not talking about hypocrites as in those who who come to church and then are outside sleeping around with everyone that they see and stealing money and beating up people and those sort of things. He's not talking about hypocrites like that. He's talking about the people who are self-deluded, who believe that by their very acts are righteous acts whereby the Lord is compelled to recognize them and that others are compelled to recognize. And he's saying, you are self-deceived. You are wrong. You lack a perspective. You are getting your full reward when people praise you. Because at the heart of it, you do not desire my name to be exalted. You desire your name to be exalted. This is in contrast to the Lord's teaching in Matthew 5, where he says, so let your light shine before men, so that they would see your good works and give praise to your Father who is in heaven. When we have walked the road of poverty of spirit and mourning and meekness and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we will soon discover the glory and the goodness of our Savior. And if we have truly tasted that He is good, and we have been transformed by His mercy and His grace, we will not desire the pathetic applause of men. We will long more than anything to hear the words of our Heavenly Father, well done, good and faithful servant. This church, our future lies in humility. Our future lies in true God-honoring service, not in any performance that receives the praise of men. This is a killer attitude. It will shrink us. It will not grow us. It will not impress anyone in the outside world. But most importantly, it will not impress our Heavenly Father. His desire for us, His love for us as His church, as His bride, would be that the whole of our life would be given to His service and to His praise. If we can perform every act of righteousness, we could raise $10 million for missions. We can send out 10,000 people to the mission field. We can knock on every single door in Pinellas County 300 times, inviting them to church. We can do everything imaginable in the service of the Lord, but if at the back of it all is a desire to be praised by men, the Lord says, you get all that's coming to you. You've gotten all that's coming to you. But if we truly seek the service or the praise of God in our service, we await a reward that is future. One that we trust by faith will have been worth all of the anonymity and the secrecy and the lack of praise and recognition. How do you know this is your attitude along this line of what I just said? You know, because if you've done something and no one said anything to you and you go home and that bothers you, if you've whispered to someone else, you know, I do this, the pastor's never even said anything, or so-and-so's never said anything, or you do something, maybe something that was necessary that was outside of outside of the regular, you know, say you do something on a Tuesday afternoon where very few people are in this building, and then you cannot wait to tell as many people as possible in subtle ways. I mean, let's face it, it's unbecoming to be like, yo, listen, everybody, I scrub the toilets. I'm such a humble servant. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But if you've gone around and said, you know, I just noticed that, someone hasn't cleaned the toilets in a while, or there was trash in the sanctuary, and I had to go pick it up. Someone asked me to, I noticed that, the nursery could use a little bit of help, and I was willing to come out. The choir needed more people to sing for the thing, and I'm real busy. I don't have the time, but I preached this sermon. I used a lot of really cool words and turns of phrases. People were impressed by that. At least they pretended to be. Shush. These are just examples of ways that we know that when we do our acts of righteousness, they are not truly given over to the Lord in His service. They're not sacrificial. They're purchases. So those of you, like I said, in the example of, and I use the example of scrubbing the toilets because, again, it's a personal example. I clean the bathrooms before the refuge meals. And I can't tell you how many times in the back of my mind I'm scrubbing the toilets and thinking, what other pastor scrubs toilets? You think, I wish I were joking, I wish I were not telling the truth. And that just motivates me to scrub more and to get there. And what other pastor scrubs toilets? This pastor scrubs toilets. But then the Lord says, and you will get your reward in when you hear whoever notices and says, hey, that's pretty cool, you scrubbed the toilet. That's all you get. Because that's all you wanted. You didn't sacrifice your time. You purchased someone's praise. It's a very different matter if in my heart I scrub the toilets because I wanted our homeless guests to feel welcome. And so we provided them a clean place, to eat and to shower and to fellowship with us as we tell them of the gospel of Jesus. It's a totally different thing. And if I just kept it to myself in secrecy, trusting that the Lord sees it and honors my heart, then the reward I will see is far greater than the pathetic reward I was hoping for when I step out, and I stink of bleach and whatever. It's the Lord doesn't see that and say, oh, good job, Tim. It's rather quite disgusting and vile to Him. For I've sought to take from Him which was His rightful due. I should scrub the toilet so that the homeless in our area and the needy would see the greatness of Christ. But instead, I scrub so that they would see the greatness of Tim. How pathetic. So, First Baptist Church of Pinellas Park. We've sung songs. We have given of offering. Some of you will have other responsibilities to do before this day is over within this building and this church. The rest of the week we have our schedules, and the life of this church turns on and on. Ask the Lord to expose in your heart. Are you doing your acts of righteousness to be seen by men? Or are you doing them so that the Lord's name would be exalted in your life? And then ask for His help to have the humility and to be reminded that you entered into the kingdom, the poor in spirit. There is no place for you to desire a name for yourself. You are nothing. Spiritually before God, you are nothing. But because the Lord is rich in mercy and in love, He has lifted you out of the mire, clothed you with the righteousness of His Son, transferred your guilt from you to Him, and He paid your penalty on the cross in order to transform you and to give you life, to put His Spirit within you so that you can live out the life that He has called you to live for His glory. And if you have truly seen the richness of the gospel, you will desire only that the Lord who has provided such a great salvation, His name would be praised and not your own. to those who are outside of Christ, who you're not Christians, you may not even know what that means. And you've thought to yourself, yeah, I know what that's like. I've seen you Christian people act this way. You know, to me it seems dubious all that you've ever done. Understand this, that the Lord Jesus, while that may be in some of our lives or most of our lives, all of our lives, I would say, that would be a pretty obvious characteristic of ours, that we practice this, our righteousness, just to be seen by others. The Lord doesn't let us get away with it. He will not have it with us. He communicates to you, the skeptic or the outsider, while my people may do this, they have no business doing this. My desire is that they would work and act in such a way that my name would be exalted, so that you, when they stand before you, you cannot help but to acknowledge the greatness of my name and my person and the wonder of my salvation that I have provided, that this sinner, this impoverished sinner, has been made rich in me through my work on behalf, and you could be made rich in me by faith in my gospel. So despite our behavior, despite our glory stealing, I ask those of you who are outside of Christ to turn to the Savior who makes sinners righteous by his blood and who welcomes all who come to him by faith. To First Baptist Church of Pinellas Park, let us confess the bankruptcy and the wickedness of our heart that seeks to steal glory from God. And let us resolve as a body and as individuals to ask the Lord to help us to live to his glory and his glory alone, so that his name would be exalted amongst us and that we see the outpouring of his Spirit and the inbringing of sinners into the kingdom through our work, which is given to him in his praise. Pray with me. Our great God, we pray, seeking your help. I cannot lead where I have not gone. So, Lord, I confess to you my glory-stealing heart, my desire to be praised by men, to be thought of as clever, as wise, as gifted, rather than seeking your name to be magnified. I want to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. And you have said that my reward is in full whenever anyone recognizes the things that I do. So by your grace, Lord, I ask that you would help me to lead this body in humble service to you by striking at the place in my heart that seeks to steal your glory. Humble me so that I can lead this body in humble service to you, so that the world would see your greatness. For those that are here and they have heard you speak through your word, have them, Lord, to confess and to repent and to trust in you, seeking to give glory to you in their lives. For those who have stubbornly withstood this warning and said, this ain't about me, break their heart of stone. Show them the ugliness of the sin and have them turn to faith in you. Let us see your salvation, Lord, in these moments. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We come to the time where we recognize the need to respond to this word as it has been preached. I encourage all of you who are Christians to ask the Lord to search your heart and to expose the wickedness that is there, that you would come to a place of confession and repentance. And if that leads you to come forward and pray in these steps, someone will be here to pray with you and to comfort you. If you're someone who's not a Christian, and you've come to realize your need for a Savior during this time, we ask you to come forward and we will receive you and show you from Scripture what it means to trust in Christ and how to receive Him by faith. If you're a Christian and you have been moved by the Lord to seek membership in this church, we invite you to come forward and make that known, and we'll discuss what that process looks like. For the rest, sing praise to the Lord who loves us and gave Himself for us. Give glory to His name. Stand as we sing our final hymn.